Sam, there's one thing you must promise me.
What is it, Mom?
Promise me.
I will, but what is it?
Promise.
Promise?
You have to promise, Sam.
Okay.
I need you to say it, Sam.
Is it about being a hexen?
I need your word, Sam. A promise.
Is it to never use my power selfishly, or I'll risk becoming the very monster that hexens are sworn to fight?
Yes. That promise. That's the one.
Promise me I'll never have to.
I can't do that.
Next time on Ever's After. This street nearly escaped the war. We were so close to the front I could see it from the roof. But Tef and I still can't put our weapons down. It's like our hands move on their own and say things we can't take back. We just can't stop the fighting. And apparently both can't let a sleeping dog lie.
It's a new person on our block. And if I learned anything from you, who are my mom and dad, it's how to be a good neighbor.
Cul-de-sac people aren't good neighbors, son. They are monsters.
Not all monsters are monsters. Right, Mrs. Evers?
Harold, not in front of Bulb. The cul-de-sac is a very special sort of problem.
Hello, mister. I brought you a block gift for welcome time.
A gift? Or a warning?
It's my best, the game called Tarantula Glove. Mom says I can't use it no more on account of when I got a broken collarbone.
You certainly brought me a gift, child, but not the one that you intended.
Ah, what are you doing, mister?
I'm afraid I can't have anyone else learning of my arrival. Or my true identity, as I am the one who is the Chimera.
Watch it, mister. I'm gonna scream whatever you said.
Chimera, you know you may have captured Bulb, but don't know this is over.
Just wait till Mom gets here.
You may have succeeded in warning your precious mom, but know that I know an unknown hidden secret that you have little to no knowledge of.
What could that be?
Ever's After, Carinary On, is still a show. Next up, is your corporal of coitus not rising to the occasion? We will help you win your love skirmish. Radiation Ships is now on WSPN. The Spoon.
Maxi men and mini moms, piss poes and tapos, zephyrs and survivors. To all you ratheads out there in Radiation Nation, views and opinions expressed on Radiation Ship may not necessarily reflect that of WSBN or its affiliates. We are live from our EBS compound on a disclosed location deep in lines and Sadlands. Our hearts pure, our backs strong, and our eyes shielded from the glare of the bone waste. I am Rad Flake, with me as always, the Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Radiation Ship. Well, Professor, I hope you had a nice rest away from the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice and well rested, de-stressed, feeling good, feeling limber.
I'm invigorated, reinvigorated.
I gotta say, I'm a little stressed myself. Last episode, I don't know if you listened or not from the massage parlor, but it was a little shaky. I'm not sure I like this idea WSPN had about bringing those. That character in here and was having that, a guest.
Was that difficult for you?
It was difficult. It was very difficult. Yeah. Okay.
Did you feel threatened by the presence of someone else? Did you feel disconcerted by the absence of me?
It was weird. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know how if you lose a hand, and then you put a different hand on, that hand never quite feels right. Yeah, it's like that. Also, we got a little something. Caden, could you just like take headphones off for a second? So like last time, the dude kept talking about magic. He kept being like, let's talk about magic.
Yeah, that's not
it. And ever since then, Caden's like, ooh, yeah, this is the show's about magic now.
That's not a great idea.
So
he's
there. We go.
Yeah,
you can put him back on. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds like a wonderful romp through the whimsical
but
forest
don't
of the imagination.
Caden about that plans for a secret birthday or
no.
Oh no, now he heard. That's terrible.
Uh-oh.
Anyway,
surprise.
So today, Mm-hmm. I guess we'll be talking about the magic of families.
Families.
Family.
Yeah.
Family. Like the family that we have here, the family we have with, you know, like for example, what I was talking about a second ago with that strange stranger that came in and the listener that came in and I could see here and he was doing hosting and stuff and it was,
yeah.
He wasn't part of the family. He didn't belong here. Mm-hmm. And you could feel it. And I think our listeners could feel it. And I think our callers could feel it. And I know for sure I could feel it. So I think it's important for us to talk about just for a minute, you know, the sort of family that we've developed here,
yeah,
and just sort of how it functions.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, I saw that gentleman on his way in.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see him leave.
No,
did he make it out okay?
I would assume so. Caden, I haven't heard him.
Caden, did he? Yeah, Caden is nodding. Yes, yes, he's been well taken care of. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, our family here. It's come under attack lately from just some of the worst people out there, whether it's this co-host that came in just so disruptive.
Yeah.
So uninvited.
Yeah.
It's so not belonging, so different.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look like you at all.
No.
But was sitting in your seat.
If you do.
Was wearing your headphones, was talking into your microphone.
Mm.
Well, you might want to get handkerchief or.
Did we do?
Disinfected? Not my microphone, not my job.
All right. I'm just going to.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna just do it from back here.
Okay.
Is this gonna work? Can you hear me? I don't. Okay. No, I need to.
Okay. So yeah, back to family. So our family, as I said, have come under attack lately, mm-hmm. just from some dark hidden forces.
Yeah.
That are looking to tear us apart.
Yeah.
They're looking to interrupt the show. They're looking to destroy the advice that we are so willingly, just graciously giving to the rest of our family, our listeners, mm-hmm. whose job it is in the family, just like in a real human family,
yeah.
where you got older ones and younger ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the older ones are taking care of the younger ones. Mm-hmm. Well, it's our job to take care of those listeners.
Exactly.
And it's their job to listen.
Yeah.
I remember back, you know, in my own childhood, you know, whether I was running around swinging on the back, that tire swing in the backyard, or just running yeah. around, you know, playing ball with my brothers and sisters and just playing catch back and forth or, you know, suspended in a tube of liquid.
Yeah.
I remember.
And the dog.
Mostly.
Yeah.
When I was a child, the biggest thing I can remember mm-hmm. is Treesop's Ready Rinse comes to mind. Like, it's just this ever-present
yeah.
presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think that they're part of our family, too.
Yeah.
And Treesop's is always yeah. ready for excellence. And I'd like to think that, you know, while it's not, it is their trademark.
Yeah.
So we can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that could be sort of an unofficial slogan for our family as well.
Well, I think so. Yeah. If they are part of our family, then I think there's some sort of genetic familial usage clause for their intellectual property.
I guess let's go ahead. Like I said, we're going to be talking about family a lot today,
mm-hmm.
but let's go ahead and let's reach out to our family
mm-hmm.
and let's see if we can't hear about a product they are offering.
Hey, are you tired of post office? Sick of junk mail? How about some jerk-ass kid hit your mailbox with a stick? Yeah, me too. That's why I made this up, the Up Box. It ain't your mama's mailbox. Up Box, the U stands for up, and up stands for you, which means you... Now, you'll love Upbox, which stands for Universally Lifted. Forget about the P is placement, and the other P you forgot about stands for postal. Universally Lifted Placement Postbox. Easy. That's a fucking mouthful. Our mailboxes are way higher than other mailboxes to keep them and your mail safe, and the results speak for themselves. Hi, I'm Results. Haha, LOL. Not really, JK. Mom won't know what hit her. It's so tall, the mailmans won't even know what to do. Never receive junk mail again, and mailing letters? Forget about it. Nobody's arm's that big. Try Upbox and kiss your mother goodbye.
Whether the big one or the little one, we are the right one. WSPN. The Spoon.
I cannot wait to exchange money
I can't
or
exchange
goods
like currency
for
or,
that,
or services.
Or listen to that program.
For those goods and or services or programs
yeah.
or people.
Yeah, I think it's doing the world a lot of good. And by association, we are doing all of that good to the world through it.
We're bringing that commercial to the people in a way that no other show could.
Yeah.
In a volume, and a register, and a certain, you know, mix, just thanks to Caden over there.
Yeah.
I, of course, could be doing the mixing, too. It's mm-hmm. just difficult to broadcast and mix at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. an act of family.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of family, of course, Caden, precocious tyke that he is, while that commercial was on, he was asking Rad and I questions about, you know, just life and the nature of family.
Yeah, like, what is a family? Where does a family come from?
Exactly.
How do you get a daddy?
Yeah. Yeah, specifically, he was curious about the origins of our species and how we reproduce. To answer your question, Caden, and just for information for the audience, you know, there are a lot of myths and folk lies regarding the origin of humanity and the process by which members of our species or those reasonably adjacent to our species reproduce. And as a man of science, I feel that it is my duty to cut through the superstition with cold, hard scientific fact. Along those lines, when two individuals are found righteous and blameless in the sight of T'Pot, he brings them together to test the true measure of their devotion through the ritual of pelvic combat. With the aid of arcane divine power or a blend of alcohol and MDMA, whichever is more readily accessible, T'Pot will send a rush of blood to the genitals of his acolytes, those genitals become engorged and begin to froth with... with froth, and the test begins. Now, if the acolytes are true to their faith and turn the passions of their seething hungers toward the discipline of prayer, then they are rewarded with a deeply personal sense of mostly trivial and completely non-physical satisfaction that, to be honest, doesn't last very long and can seem like more of a curse than anything else. However, if the acolytes give in to their nasty, gooey, dirty, gooey, cravings of goo, and attempt to mash their genitals together in the hopes of deadening the sensations of their treacherous nether bits, T'Pot punishes them. He punishes the female by making her large and unsightly and barely even really a woman anymore, to be honest. And he punishes the male by making the female large and unsightly and barely even really a woman anymore. And sometimes they just have sex and make a baby. Let's go ahead and take a caller. Welcome to Radiation Ships. How can we service you?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, quick question first, just sort of a little survey we're doing. Would you consider yourself to be a human?
I mean, well, I do.
Okay.
Certainly.
Okay. And where would you say you're located? Like, what's your general location?
At this moment, I'm a little bit south of the Sadlands.
Okay.
Kind of on a campaign tour at the moment.
There's a little tents down there right around now. You in that area?
I'm on the bus, actually.
Okay. Bus. Any particular... Is it a bus that's moving, I would assume?
Well, yeah. No, it's our campaign bus.
Okay. So, I guess let's start there. What are you campaigning for?
We're actually trying to spread the word about AAA 33.
Okay.
Which would allow the relief community to actually farm some watermelons.
Okay.
To help us in our ongoing course to wean ourselves off of humans.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. The trans dead munchie bill. I heard about this.
That does sound like a big problem.
Okay. So are you a trans dead individual or are you a trans dead ally? Where do you fit in the trans dead scheme of things?
Just to be clear,
mm-hmm.
we do actually prefer the term relieved.
Okay. Whatever.
Well, it's not exactly whatever. It's important that, you know, people know what they should be calling us when they talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little imprecise, but, you know, I don't fight vernacular too hard.
Let's be perfectly clear here. We're not calling you. You're calling us.
Yes, I do understand that. I'm actually trying to...
Then why are you trying to mince words with the professor here? He's just trying to help.
Well, yeah. No, I do understand that. It's just that the last time I talked to you, we did have not a very, how would I say, a productive conversation.
Did you try to eat me or something?
No, but the wants and needs of the relived community weren't exactly shed in a very understanding light by those running this show, and I thought you would be a...
Well, I'd have to apologize on Caden's... behalf then, uh-huh. if whoever's running the show insulted you in any way, but
yeah.
I would like to go ahead and say that I think part of the discrepancy here might be just the sort of scope of the show. We're not really political. We don't really get into political things in the show. We're mainly focused on individual relationships, and while we'll occasionally deal with group relationships or that sort of thing, uh-huh. it's not really focused on things like, you know, entire segments of the population. So if you felt like we were belittling Jumblies as a whole, you might it might just be a misunderstanding.
Actually,
that's a pejorative.
It is indeed a pejorative term, and we don't appreciate it, and we'd rather it not be used, if at all possible.
Exactly. You tell them, my sister.
Are you, sir, part of the relived community?
I am an ally to sentient creatures of all kinds. You know, while I'm not weighed down by the experience or perspectives of the disenfranchised, it is my privilege to provide them with the tools to better understand themselves. You know, they're too busy struggling against the oppressions of societal mores to understand their place in societal mores. So I will benevolently lend them my eyes. You know, I see them. They can't see them. They can only be them. So I let them see what I see, so they can be what they be without having to be without seeing what I see. You know, I provide sight. I provide light. I am the light man, if you will, and I think of this as the light man's burden.
For sure.
I've multiple alliances with all kinds of different groups. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are jumblies, some of them are not. Regardless,
we really don't prefer that term. If you, I would appreciate it if you would
which word?
Discontinue the jumbly.
Okay.
Well, it's quite offensive.
You just said it. I don't see what the problem is.
No, it's quite offensive, actually.
I've got all kinds of alliances, you know, with all sorts of different groups across the Sadlands. It just sort of depends on, you know, the individual group, what they can offer and what I can offer them.
Yeah. Just so you know, Rad, and Kali, let me go ahead and take a swing at this for you, because you're obviously battling some personal vernacular and speech problems. There's a spectrum of life, Rad, that is composed of different people groups. It ranges from the all dead to the alive. There is the all dead who are, you know, metabolically sentient. Then we move to the quasi-dead, who are relatively motionless but possess the uncanny ability to ooze. We move then to the undead, who are ambulatory but poor conversationalists. Then the trans-dead, a group to which I believe our caller belongs. They're really the best of both worlds. You know, I like to think of them as spry, dry, and almost live. Then there are the Baptists, who are self-explanatory. And then the alive, who are, you know, like you and I, Rad, the normal ones.
I hate to quibble here, Professor, but where does that put somebody like, I don't necessarily want to get into this too deeply on air, but, you know, somebody like, oh, say, Caden, for example.
Caden is very much.
I mean, he's very alive. He's extremely alive.
He's lively. I'll give you that. He's lively.
Yeah, is there any way that we could get maybe back to what?
Sorry, caller. We get so wrapped up in these issues sometimes that it just goes off the tracks altogether. So why don't you just hop right into it? What is wrong with you?
If I could just ask the professor, where did you get your education on the relived community?
I believe, you know, I've always felt that just keen observation is often the best teacher. And so I've, you know, spent time observing all manner of creature, all points on the spectrum of dead to alive.
You told me it was an old jumbly wise man up on a mountain.
That is a pejorative. That's not a direct quote, but that did help. Yeah.
You had this story. It was like, deep in the mountains of Tibet, there stands a temple, an old worn temple, the pillars decrepit and crumbling, the roof with holes in it. But standing in the center of that temple, there's a man, an old jumbly man, who, if you are wise enough to find him, will tell you the ways of the jumbly.
That's paraphrased, but you've got the gist there. Yeah, so I, you know, in talks with him and in observation of the people in my life, I've noticed that there's a serious lack of precise nomenclature that your people can use to define yourselves. And so I'm just doing my part and defining you for you.
Well, I would...
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know what? You are welcome.
You are welcome.
It is really the least that I can do. Good. Okay, good. Then we're on the same page.
No, okay.
It's just I'm just grateful. Doing my part. I'm doing my part. So you're doing your part. We're doing our parts.
See, this is the problem that I had last time. With you guys.
Back to the problem. Great. Let's go. Right, let's focus on that.
Watermelons.
Honestly, no. Yeah, okay. Look, no. Honestly, the problem now is that I'm really worried about the type of information that you guys are propagating to the public at large, and it's...
As are we.
We're very concerned about it, absolutely.
We want to make sure that we are passing on nothing but the most bestest
knowledge,
purified,
the goodest idea,
rarefied,
ever.
Triple
just
distilled,
the words,
reverse osmosis,
all the advice,
knowledge,
fit in the radio show.
I understand you having had an epiphany moment with who I can only assume was probably the Dalai Lama, who is actually a member of the realist community. Mm-hmm. We do value his input highly.
Now, are we talking about the same individual? He's about 5'4". He's got a Rolex, and the skin is dripping off the left side of his face.
Yeah. Yes. Actually. Yeah.
Great guy. Hell of a dancer.
I would not know. I don't go to this type of parties.
Nobody moves like you people.
Yeah, okay. See, this is where I'm going to have to...
It's really cool how he was able to pick that toy car back from when he was alive.
Rad, you know what I think would be helpful for you is I have in my library, I have the collective works of Dr. King, the trans-dead leader activist, and I think you would find a lot of really useful information in his book of speeches entitled Pet Cemetery. There's just a lot of great, useful information written in a really relatable way.
I mean, I'm completely familiar with multiple different groups of zombies. For example, I mentioned earlier, I had alliances with all sorts. For example, the skinned heads, you know, the ones who've removed the skin on their heads, that biker gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a deal going with them.
Yeah. Some of those are really nice people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, no actual terms, guys. We can't...
What's that?
We can't be using these types of terms anymore?
I mean, that's what they call themselves.
Oh, some of you can use those terms. Like you just said, some of you still have your tongues. Some of you are still articulate. So you shouldn't feel intimidated by this kind of vocabulary.
Let's focus on this proposition that you're talking about. Because you said there's a proposition. You're going around. You're campaigning about it. It sounds interesting. Let's hear a little more about it.
We're really just trying to be able to acquire land for the relief community to farm watermelons, which would allow us to have a source of food, of intake, to help us wean ourselves off of the feeling of human meat.
Yeah.
Watermelons have proven in several studies to actually help us. It has a lot of the same texture and density as a human head.
It's the crunch factor.
It is a lot of the crunch factor.
Yeah. I would imagine the goo is a big part of that as well.
I think that depends on taste, actually. But we are trying to raise awareness and get people out there to those polls to actually vote to allow us to evolve as any other human does.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The polls, the big flag polls, you raise the yes or no flag up and that.
Exactly.
So people get out there, raise those flags up.
Poll,
you want them to raise the yes flag, right?
We want them to raise the yes flag.
The yes flag, all right.
Yes, for Proposition AAA-33.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like, certainly sounds like an admirable goal.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you guys are going to deal with the seeds.
Everybody needs
a hobby. That seems a little off brand there as far as human skulls go. I guess like teeth, maybe, although they'd be in the wrong place. Anyway, thank you very much, caller. Thank you for calling in, making our callers or listeners, excuse me, aware of this this important work you're doing. And we definitely wish you the best.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Again, I'm leaving both exhausted and disheartened as previous.
Say it loud. You're dead and you're proud.
Oh, goodbye.
I really just want to touch your hair.
Now, who was... She said she talked to us before.
Yeah, we you know, a lot of people talk.
Yeah, we talk to so many people, it's hard to keep them all straight.
It really is. It really is. But you know what? As long as she's gotten something out of this, then we've done our jobs.
That's true. That's very true. It's important that we get this information out to you.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, you're probably going to get divorced.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Your kids are probably going to fall off a cliff. And you know, there's a group out there that doesn't want you to hear this advice. The group that's trying to break up our family, and in doing so, break up your family. This group is the group that is telling WSPN that they have to censor us, that they have to clamp down on us and not let us say certain things and not let me do advertisements on the air, which, frankly, I miss terribly. Uh-huh. And I really think it's starting to impact the quality of advice that we can give here.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we can't keep that stockpile of Pez up like we used to.
No.
You know, they go bad after a while. When you have 20,000 of them sitting around, you know, you're going to have to lose a few to rats.
Yeah.
But you never know when you might need 20,000 sleeves of Pez. Anyway, off topic there. My point is, your relationship is in trouble. Now, if I was in that relationship, it would be fine. If I was dating your girlfriend, I'd be treating her just to the time of her life, flowers, gifts, you know, just she'd be so happy. But
yeah.
You're not me.
No.
And so you need.
Few of us are.
Yeah, you need the advice that me and the professor can give you.
You do.
With that said, Professor, mm-hmm. did you have anything else you wanted to add about the family or these terrible, terrible, just vicious junkyard dogs that are trying to tear us apart?
No. No, I'm good.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Now that the sun's gone, just wish we knew where it had gotten to. Strange that Marseille and Rawls are holding up the best. I guess it makes sense. They don't have to worry about the little ones. The rest of us have taken a lot of losses just trying to push through. Frankly, I wish I had their luck, and I wish I knew why those two nut boils got off so easy. We could hold out here forever if it weren't for the little ones. The damn runs shoot right past Marseille and Rawls like they're scenery. And it's the little ones that get you.
$400 credits have been deducted from your account. Thank you, and please keep broadcasting.
Want to learn spells, but why? That's stupid. Why learn magic when you can be magic? All I gotta do is just point this stick at you and zop. Now use a magical centaur or some crap. Divine magic's more your style? Fine. Have some of them too. Bam! It's so easy, I can do it with one hand, but I don't. Two hands makes the magic stronger. Let me practice turning you into mystical energy. It'll be fine. I gotta get 40 hours in to get my license, and you gotta be a talking piano. Damn! Wow. What a great thing to have happen to anyone. Find me at Lister County Community Center Bingo Night, and I'll be putting a freaking whammy on you good. Or I'll be putting a freaking whammy on you good.
What would you do for another taste? WSPN, The Spoon.
And we are back again from that amazing commercial you just heard. Again, we brought to you just so fresh, so perfect, so crisp and clear. You have no choice but to buy that product or service.
You are correct. We are back.
We would never leave you in the lurch, ladies and gentlemen. Not like not. These dogs I was talking about earlier want to leave you without our show, without that advice that you need, that advice that keeps your family together, that keeps our family together with your family.
Dogs again.
Huh? Now I've been thinking, and I'm realizing, we have a real problem here, mm-hmm. because there's been a problem that's been under the surface for so long, and we never noticed, and it's been whispering in our ear, it's been whispering in the back of our mind, clues all along.
Is it dogs?
That we've ignored.
Is it dogs again?
Clues that we have ignored that are just so apparent, they're right in front of us.
I'll bet dogs are the problem.
And it's something that we've ignored, and it's passed right under our noses. Mm-hmm. We should have been able to smell it. You know what it is?
Dogs.
Yes, it's yeah. dogs. It's mm-hmm. dogs, but you know what else it is?
It's more
these
dogs.
Magicians. It's these magicians, because you remember that episode a little while back? That guy kept reading my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that dog that the mailman saw?
Yes, the bad boy.
Here's what I'm realizing. These junkyard dogs that I spoke of earlier, this secret force hiding hiding in the shadows and trying to tear us apart. The ones that are feeding the minds of WSPN with these terrible thoughts about, you know, censoring us and taking us off the air and preventing us from bringing you commercials and bringing you the advice that you need. Well, they can only be psychics. They can only be some sort of psychic force, some sort of psychic junkyard dog. Well, let's just call them Psydogs for short. Because these monsters, whoever they are, wherever they are feeding on your thoughts, feeding on your mind, and trying to tear us apart. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, we will get to the bottom of this. We will find out who these so-called Psydogs are that we've been hearing about.
Is this because I told you we couldn't get a puppy at the bunker?
I told you we couldn't get a puppy at the bunker.
Is that how you remember that?
I mean, it's the only way to remember it.
Hmm. Okay.
You said we could keep Caden, so I figured that was...
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and move on with the show. We'll get back to that, I'm sure, at some other time. But for now, let's make sure our callers are living their best lives and they are taken care of.
That is the focus, yes.
All right, caller. Go ahead. What's your name and what's wrong with you?
Hey, guys. My name is Philly, like a Philly cheesesteak. I'm a unicorn. I'm calling from the in-between.
Okay.
Okay, cool, cool. Now, you said you were a unicorn, so you wouldn't consider yourself a human, would you?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, okay. Just want to make sure there weren't any, like, half-centaur, quarter person. You don't even understand any people stuff going on. Sorry, go ahead. What was your problem? What can we help you with?
Well, my partner Twaddle called you guys previously, and I just want to give out my side of the story.
Okay, Twaddle, do you remember that, Professor, what that was all about?
Well, just to refresh your memory, I mean, being in a three-way is hard, you guys. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, someone is always the third wheel, right? And I fell in love with a fawn and a nymph. You spoke with Twaddle. He made it sound like I was ruining his relationship with our sweet nymph goddess, and that's just not true.
Well, I mean, set the record straight, I guess, and then we'll give you some advice on maybe getting revenge or something like that.
Well, you know, he mentioned I explode with love occasionally. It's not something I can control. Yes, it might stain the walls around here, but hey, what would you rather have? A unicorn that just sits there and doesn't break out into Celine Dion?
Right, yeah. I mean, I have to stay on top of my list of things I don't want. A boring unicorn would probably be pretty high up there.
Yeah, that's...
Like, what would you even do with just sits around?
It's the, yeah, the
lazy
actual
freaking
worst.
Unicorn just being like, oh, look at me, I got a whore on my head. I'm a piece of crap, don't do nothing, unicorn. That'd be pretty bad.
But, you know, when they touch me like that, and when they whisper like this, oh, my God, like the power of love swells up inside me.
Yeah.
And I'm like this overfilled bucket of goop. And I'm sorry. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, take your time. Okay, so let's break down what we're looking at here. You feel slighted by one of the member of your trio, by some things they said on air, potentially last time.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I think we're here to tell you that they're wrong, and you don't have to feel bad about that. If you'd like to set the record straight and, you know, defend yourself here, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. If there's relationship issues you'd like us to help you with, we're more than willing to help you with that too. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I agree with you. I wouldn't call it a problem at all. I mean, would you call sneezing a problem? People bless you for sneezing, even though technically particles of snot flies everywhere and can make you sick. My power can actually be used as a healing ointment, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just sorry that Twaddle doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe what we're talking about here, Professor, is looking for acceptance in a relationship and making the other person in a relationship realize they can't change you and they just have to accept you the way you are because you can't change yourself.
Exactly it. If I can, you know, echo what you were saying earlier, Rad, in my experience, if you're having trouble in a relationship, it is, with very few exceptions, it's usually the other person's fault. Whether you are a unicorn who is imbued with the power of love, you know, and you find yourself in a throuple with ungrateful people. Mm. That's a story that I hear every other week. You know, sometimes things get even darker. Sometimes you set out upon an epic journey at great personal risk, and you meet a 40-foot robot with the grace of a goddess and a hydraulic ass that's been meticulously engineered to not quit, and you show her parts of you that you've never shown another person, and she promises to stay in touch, but the weeks turn into months, and she never returns your call, and I guess you don't really need to be a home appliance to be profoundly frigid, Rad.
Yeah, what the professor's saying is correct. Normally, in my relationships previously, I felt like the professor says that, you know, it's not your fault. You know, you're just being yourself in there. So your options are basically this. You need to be yourself aggressively. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like it when you explode with the power of love. Show them they're not going to be able to stop you.
Exactly.
So explode with the power of love in the kitchen. Explode with the power of love in the bedroom. Explode with the power of love on the patio. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to confront them with it. Confront this problem. Confront that they're not accepting or tolerating you right in the face.
Exactly. Exactly. You are, you know, you are far from home. You've strayed away from your bunker for the first time in years, maybe even ever. You know, you're in the city of Nashville for the first time. You're investigating this entity that you feel has been stealing your radio show. You meet a lovely and warm woman, and she doesn't really want to have anything to do with you once you're gone. It's a one and done. It's a wham, bam, thank you, Sham. And you just have to understand that you are a good person. You are perhaps the goodest person. You are a professor with multiple degrees, and you're helping people with your words and your insight, and you're just taking those calls one after another, and you're going to find love because you're worth it. Sham, you are worth it.
That's beautiful.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. A great metaphor for your situation. So what do you think? We just need a little feedback. Where is this sitting with you? Do you have anything you'd like to add? Or?
Well, I have to say that I can't really get past the personal wounding that's happened.
I already know this. Go ahead. You probably already know this. He's a compulsive rhymer. He just blindsides you with little rhyme schemes. He doesn't even realize when he does it. It's intimidating and a little annoying. But I still love him so, so much. My heart could go on and on and on and on and on about it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important. You know, it's important to share interests, but at the same time, you know, everybody's got their own thing. And maybe, you know, this is something that's his. He can do it on his own time. And you don't have to necessarily be there for it if you find it intimidating. Or if you can learn to enjoy it, maybe you can roll with that as well. But have you thought you could use this as leverage? You are trying to make an effort here. There's something you don't like about him. While he is not exploding with love, ever, is he even physically capable of it? How inconsiderate is that?
I know. He just doesn't appreciate the struggles that I go through on a daily basis. I mean, maybe he doesn't like Celine Dion. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, let me ask you this. Is he a giant animatronic construct in the form of an ancient Greek deity?
Wow. That's really cutting to the heart of the matter there, Professor.
Right.
No, but he has a goat butt.
Okay.
Oh, a goat butt.
Well, I mean, that's just something you're going to have to learn to live with.
Yeah.
No, I like that about him.
Oh, you're into goat butt.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, no problem then.
Oh, yeah. That's the part of him that I really love. I mean, if I wanted to pick a half, that would be that half. What was the question again?
Let's see.
I was asking you if how far you can project your love, and if you ever go to the city of Nashville, and if maybe your ability to project the power of love can happen by request. I guess I'm asking if we can combine those things, and if you could go to the city of Nashville and project your power of love at a target of my specifying to help your relationship.
You know, I mean, I could try, I guess. I have to be around certain people. I guess I could bring my lovers with me.
Okay.
You know, that might work.
It's worth a shot, right? You always got to try to repair those relationships. And you know what, a road trip, I think the professor and I can say, you know, a road trip can work wonders. I think it worked wonders for our working relationship. And it might be just the thing to put you guys back on the right foot. Anything else, Professor?
No, it sounds like you got the gist. I'll ask you to stay on the line after we finish this call. I'm going to give you some specific information, location, physical description. I might talk a little more about my feelings. But I think one way or another, we are going to fix your relationship.
Oh, I'm so excited to see. I'm just beyond myself excited. We're going to fix my relationship. We're going to meet each other, and I get to use my power for good. I'm just excited.
No, we're not going to meet you there.
No.
But thank you very much, caller. You have a good one.
You too.
All right. What a show today, Professor.
Yeah, we really spanned a gamut.
We have so many revelations, so much new information. We helped so many people, and we've discovered this shadowy cabal who have been behind every problem we've had for, well, since before we started renumbering the show. Since before the last episode one, back when we were in the 500s.
Is this the dogs again?
It's the Psydogs. We've been hearing so much about them.
Right, okay. I have to say, it really kind of sounds like you're taking unrelated problems and making them about you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us once again. I've been a Rad Flink. With me, as always, the Professor. Mm-hmm. And please, don't come looking for us.